Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Conference Call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Bhavaneshwar Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji would be enlightening us on the topic of Bhagavad Cosmology, Part 4, Description of Vedic Planetarium. Before we dive into this nectarine class, I will request Raj Prabhuji to share a brief introduction about His Grace Bhavaneshwar Prabhuji. So Hare Krishna, Raj Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Over to you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam to you and all the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Guru and Gauranga. There is a brief introduction for Prabhuji. His Grace Bhavaneshwar Prabhu is a senior Brahmachari devotee residing in Mumbai, India. He is part of Vedic Cosmology team where he works closely with His Grace Vamsidas Prabhu regarding translation of Surya Siddhanta. Vamsidas Prabhuji is a scientist working in Rochester, Minnesota. States. Bhavaneshwar Prabhu also teaches at the Bhakti Vedanta Academy for Culture and Education, BACE, at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. He teaches courses on Ishopanishad, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhuji graduated from Indian Institute of Science with a Master's in Electrical Engineering. He graduated with honors as a gold medalist, an academic distinction rarely achieved. His interest in cosmology studies has led him to elaborate on the design and structure of the universe as described in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Working with the team of students at Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapeeth at Govardhan Eco Village, Mumbai, India, Bhavaneshwar Prabhu and team systematically understood and elaborated the Vedic cosmos, thus resulting in the release of a book called Bhagavad Cosmology. His book is very well researched and exhaustive, covering the cosmology topics from the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. His Bhagavad Cosmology series is a very popular series on YouTube, serving as a guidance for those who desire to study the complex Vedic cosmology. Hari Bol. It's a brief introduction for Prabhuji. On to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam to you.
Thank you so much, Raj Prabhuji, for that introduction. Hare Krishna, Bhavaneshwar Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Bhagavad Cosmology. Without further ado, I would like to request you to please take over from here. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. We'll start with the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपागदामयं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्री गुरुं वैष्णवांशा श्री रूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांता स्वामिन इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రధాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌరతిశే నమః హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే वाञ्छाकल्पतरूप्यस्य कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna, thank you very much for joining today. I'm really sorry this we have been discussing this particular topic for quite well, for many months I would say. So hopefully today we'll see some of the most important things. We'll get overall understanding of what's happening around, etc. So in the previous couple of classes, we have seen, especially in the Bhumandala and also within Bharatakanda, our Earth globe, how day and night is happening. And with the combined movement of sun and moon, we also saw that how the different solar months, different lunar months are happening. And Adhikamas coming over every 3 years, etc. And how other planets such as Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Rahu Ketu, etc. are all revolving around pole star above, Bharatakanda below, by which we also have the concept of astrology, birth chart, etc. etc. So many things are there. So then, in addition to the planets revolving around on a horizontal plane, they also go up and down. That movement of up and down is called as Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. And that Uttarayana Dakshinayana concept today we'll study to try to understand. So in the previous sessions, we were like, this is the plane of the Bhumandala. On the plane of the Bhumandala, the planets are revolving like this. And that we are seeing from the top. When we see from the top, everything appears to be like a nice circle. And today we are going to see in the front, from front. So as it is moving like this, so at what height they are moving, what happens with respect to their position or a period of time, such kind of things we'll try to see. So today our entire discussion is all about front view, seeing through the front. So how things are happening. So not from the surface of the Earth globe, but going into the outer space. And in the 3D universe, like this is the Bhumandala, and go somewhere here and look into the universe, how things are happening, especially the movement of sun and moon, etc. specifically. So this Uttarayana Dakshinayana concept, we'll try to understand from 21, 22, 23, 24 chapters of 5th Canto. So the entire concept of Uttarayana Dakshinayana as well eclipses is encapsulated in this one verse. This one verse reveals the entire principle behind Uttarayana Dakshinayana and also the eclipses. So if we understand this one verse, we kind of get a good idea of the concept. What is the concept of Uttarayana Dakshinayana, etc. So a little technical this one. Let us try to understand. Also, immediately after this verse, we will also open for discussion. So if this verse is understood, remaining all are some details only. This is like the principal verse. So this verse states that the sun globe, which is the source of heat and light, extends for 10,000 yojanas. The moon extends for 20,000 yojanas. And Rahu extends for 30,000 yojanas. There are some numbers mentioned about the sun, moon and Rahu in terms of 10,000 yojanas, 20,000 yojanas, 30,000 yojanas. So what is the understanding of this? We don't know. Many people consider this value to be the diameter of the respective planet. So then it is actually does not valid. Sun is supposed to be bigger than the moon, but sun is said to be 10,000 and moon is said to be 20,000. So this does not fit in. What is the actual understanding of this verse? We will see in the next slide. So if you see the shloka, यद अदस्तरनेर मंडलम प्रतपस्तद विस्तरतो योजनायुतम आचक्षते. द सन इज सीन टू बी मूविंग एट विदिन अ डिस्टेंस ऑफ 10,000 योजनास एंड देन द्वादश सहस्रम सोमस्य सोमा द मून इज सीम्स टू बी मूविंग द्वादश सहस्रम दट मीन्स 12,000 but the translators have written as 20,000. Dvadasha actually stands for Dvidasha, 2 times 10. It is supposed to be taken like that. And Trayodasha Sahasram Raho. Trayodasha actually is supposed to be taken as Tridasha, 3 times 10. That is supposed to be 30,000 yojanas. Because this is one of the corrections we need to consider within the Bhagavatam. That's what Madhvacharya says in his commentary, in his autobiography, while talking about this particular section. Mandode Puranam Chaiva Vityasam Shirasagare Rahu Soma Ravi Namcha Mandalad Dvi Gunoktitam. The mandala, the area in which the sun is seen to be and moon is seen to be and Rahu seem to be, they are supposed to be twice to the previous one. If sun is X, moon supposed to be 2 times X and Rahu supposed to be 2 times X. So it is 1, this will be 2, this will be 4, supposed to be like that. But 4 or 3, still bigger. So it is taken as 10,000, 2 times to the 20,000. 2 times to 20,000 is supposed to be 40,000. But it is mentioned here as 30,000. So something like that. So it is supposed to be considered like this. And then Mandode Puranam Chaiva Vityasam Kshirasagare. The 5th ocean was Kshirasagara according to Bhagavatam. The 6th ocean was Dahi, third ocean. They are supposed to be rivers. The 5th one supposed to be Dahi ocean at the third ocean and 6th one supposed to be milk ocean. So this is what is said in Brahmana Purana. It is also said in Vayu Purana. Many other Puranas say this. In the Bhagavatam they are opposite. So Acharya said that this could be Kalpa Beda. In one Kalpa like this, other Kalpa like that, something like that they say. But they are the two corrections which we need to take in Bhagavatam. That's what Acharyas say. So now, what is the understanding of this 10,000, 20,000, 30,000? So kindly understand that now seeing we are seeing in a flat terrain. So if you remember, the Bhumandala is like this. And just above this peak, there is the earth globe. And sun is here. And sun is seem to be going up and down. That is what is called as Uttaranga Dakshinayana. How much it goes up and down? This much. This is the distance sun goes up and down. So I have drawn a 2 lines. One is the topmost point, one line connected to the center of the earth, one bottommost line connected to the center. This is the distance which sun moves up and down. And moon also goes up and down at its own pace. So it's like that. Rahu also goes up and down. So these numbers are said to be 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. If you see in this picture, this distance supposed to be very big. And this is supposed to be somewhat medium. This is supposed to be small. But Bhagavatam says this is 10,000, this is 20,000, this is 30,000. How can we see that? The understanding is that, Acharya has explained that, if we consider one window, in that window, the distances up and down the planets go through is the number given in this verse. Here we have taken the window. Window is selected here. So why we have selected window here, we'll come to know little later. But with respect to that, the sun in its own position going from here to here. But in this window area, it is going from here to here. So this is 10,000 yojanas. In the same window, moon goes from here to here. So this distance is 20,000 yojanas, double to the sun. And the same area, Rahu goes from here to here. Though Rahu is moving here, but in the window, when you extend this, it will be seen here and this will be seen here. So from here to here, it will be 30,000 yojanas. So that is the understanding this verse gives to us. So this will help us understand what distances the planets are moving up and down, etc. So why we have taken this window here? So now we need to understand at what distance the window is supposed to be. For the moon, we have seen some time back that the diameter of the earth is 1,000 yojanas. And the diameter of the moon will be 108/400 times the diameter of the earth. It's basically 100/400 is 1/4, very close to 1/4 of the diameter of the earth. But we need to have some relationship with 108, so it is 108/400. So 1000 into 108/400 will be 270 yojanas. The diameter of the moon is 270 yojanas, and the distance between the earth and moon is 108 times to the diameter of the moon. That is into 108. So the distance between the earth and moon will be 29,160 yojanas. So that is the distance from the center of the earth to the center of the moon. 29,160 yojanas. Okay. This is the distance between the earth and moon. And this is where we have taken the window. Now, let us see why window is supposed to be there. Simple trigonometry formula. So, sun is moving from here to here. Vayupurana says that there are 180 orbits for the sun from the bottommost point to the topmost point. 180 orbits. And the width of each orbit is 21,221 yojanas. Later on in one of the slides we see that. But there are sun travels every day in one orbit. So in the month of January 14th sun will be here. And July 17th or July 16th sun will be here. January 15th to July 16th sun gradually goes upward. One day sun here. The next January 16th here. January 17th here. 18th, 19th, 20th. February, March, April, May, June, July. It's like that. Every day, the sun gradually goes inch by up. So, on January 15th, the sun will be here only. And here, will make round. Like this, it will revolve like this. Horizontal plane. An horizontal plane. And a month later, it will be here. And it will be revolving in his orbit. On an horizontal plane like this. So, in April, it will be here. And it will be revolving like this. And in May, it will be here. Revolving like this. In June, it will be here. Revolving like this. Like that, July 7th, 16th, it will be here. From July 17th to January 14th, it will come down every day gradually. Like that, 180 plus 180, 360 orbits up and down. But 180 will be repeated again. So there are total 180 orbits. The height the sun goes above every day is 21,221 yojanas. This number is given Vayupurana. So now we know total height. 180 times 21,221. This total height we know. And we also know the total distance from here to here. So that is, the earth diameter is 1000. The diameter of the sun will be 108 times to the 108,000. Because the diameter of the sun is 108 times to the diameter of the earth. And the distance between sun and earth is 108 times to the diameter of the sun. So into one more 108. 1000 into 108 into 108. So this is the distance between the earth to sun. This distance we know. This distance we know. And this distance, when it is seen in a window here, it will be equal to 10,000 yojanas here. This is the 10,000 yojanas. So we know this distance also. So for a triangle, if we know this, and if you know this also, you can calculate this distance. So simple triangle formula, but here it is different. We know this, and we also know this, and we also know this, and this can be calculated. If this is A1, this is B1, and this is A2, this is B2. A1 by B1 is equal to A2 by B2. That is simple formula can be employed in mathematics. So based on that formula, we are trying to understand. So what will be the distance from here to here, where to the window with respect to sun, where we are seeing the sun's movement. This distance we know, and this distance we know. So what I'm doing, this distance divided by this distance. So this will be 1000 into 108 into 108 and divided by this distance. That is 108 times 180 times 21,221. 180 orbits. Each orbit width is 21,000. So that is that we know. And then this by this, that means this by this is equal to this by this. So whatever L, the length of the sun, where the window is located, length of the window, and divided by the in that window how much height the sun is seen. That is 10,000. So length of the sun is equal to 10,000 into this product. That comes around 30,536 yojanas. And this 30,536 yojanas, 29,160 yojanas are very close to 30,000. That's why we have taken the window here. So with that formula, the window approximately comes at the location of the moon. That's why we have taken the window here. So taking the moon as a window, the moon position of the window, if we see, the sun seems to be going up and down by 10,000 yojanas here, and the moon seems to be going up and down by 20,000 yojanas. And Rahu seems to be going up and down by 30,000 yojanas. So that is the understanding. And there is another concept is also seen, that the arc length, what is the angle made between these two lines? One line is drawn from the top of the sun, other line is drawn from the bottom of the sun. So in geometry, we read that in a circle, if there is a small arc, we can calculate arc length with the help of the angle in radians and the radius of the circle. So arc length is equal to L is equal to R theta. Theta is in radians. So now theta is equal to the angle made by sun or moon disk, the sun disk, whatever angle made by sun disk or moon disk, same form principle applies. It is nothing but arc length or diameter of the planet. The arc length from here to here is nothing but the diameter of the planet. So diameter divided by the radius of the planet. So it's like that. But radius is equal to 108 times the diameter. That formula we know. R is equal to 108D. So D by 108D, that becomes 1 by 108 radians. So 1 by 108 radians, if we want to convert into degrees, 1 by 108 into 180 by pi. So that value will become 0.53 degrees. So the sun or moon generally seen by us, a disk which occupies half degree angle in a big circle. So that is a concept in relation to this. Hare Krishna, one small call for senior devotee calling.
Prabhuji, you are on mute.
So.
Prabhuji, now you are on mute.
Okay. Sorry. So, the sun is going from here to here over 6 months, and here to here over another 6 months. The moon goes from here to here over 15 days. Actually, not even 15 days. 13 and a half to 14 days. And from here to here, another 14 days. And Rahu will go from here to here over 9 years. And from here to here, another 9 years. This is how they take time to go up and down. So now, with that movements up and down, once in a while, they may come on the same line. So whenever they come in the same line, that time there will be an eclipse. Whenever the sun, moon, Rahu or Ketu, his stepbrother, and Earth, all the four are in the same line, that will cause eclipse. Later on, we'll see in more detail when eclipse happens, etc. But this is the principle. Details we'll see later on. So this is how the sun goes up and down. Sun going from here to here, it is called Uttarayana. January 14th, 15th to July 16th. And July 17th to January 14th, sun coming down is called Dakshinayana. And sometimes eclipse can happen like this, and the same shade line exactly in the middle. Sometimes eclipse can happen like this. When sun is here and moon is here and Rahu is here, that time can eclipse can cause. Sometimes can be eclipse will be like this also. So anywhere, whenever all the four come in the same line, only that will cause eclipse. So with this movement of sun up and down, with the movement of moon up and down, with the movement of Rahu up and down, whenever all the three coincide with each other, that is the time eclipse causes. So this is the path of sun over a year. So for example, January is here. January 15th is here. February 15th is here. March 15th, April 15th, May 15th, June 15th, July 15th is here. August, September, October, November, December, again January 15th. Like that moon, over 14 days, he goes from here to here. 14 days he goes from here to here, and another 14 days comes here to here. But once in a while, both come together here. They come together. When sun and moon are together, that is called Amavasya. When sun is on one side and moon is on the other side, that is called Purnami. But in addition to sun, moon, earth, also Rahu also comes in the same line. That is the time we will have eclipse. So this is the principle which is being described in this one verse. With the help of this principle, we can understand the Uttarayana Dakshinayana concept and the eclipse concept. The details we will discuss later. But if any devotees have a little confusion about this concept, I'm here to clarify that. So please, you can ask, you can unmute yourself and ask if this is, whether this formula is clear, everything is clear. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
So I do have a question.
My nephew is there.
I do have one question. What if we think that the earth is tilting 15 degrees instead of rotating the sun, moon and Rahu? Because we have been given this explanation in school that earth tilts 15 degrees during Uttarayana and Dakshinayana.
23 degrees they say, not 15.
Okay.
Earth tilted by 23.5 or 6, something like that. Approximately they say 23 or 24.
Consider that earth is tilting.
Earth is actually not tilting. So, I mean, in the sense, see, that is a relative concept. What we perceive, because in the previous sessions also we discussed that the, since Bharatakanda, the earth globe, which is part of Bharatavarsha, which is part of Jambudipa, which is part of the entire Bhumandala, is supposed to be stationary. And all the planets, by their very nature, which are called as Graha. Graha means Gati Pradana Iti Graha. Those entities which have the movement as their main feature, main characteristics or main quality are actually called Graha. So they are supposed to be revolving around. We have seen how they are, at what speed they are revolving. With their revolutions only, we have seen how day and night is happening, how months are happening, how years are happening, how eventually centuries will happen. So that part we discussed. But in order to explain the seasons concept, the modern scientists, they talk about the tilting position of the earth by 23 degrees. So that is what, that is how we perceive generally. That's how it is talked about like that. But that concept is explained in the Bhagavatam and other scriptures with the help of this verse, with the help of this understanding of sun going up and down, moon going up and down. Actually, later on we see many other details. Actually, sun goes up and down, because when we go through all those things, we'll understand it clearly. These are like here, keeping earth in the center and sun movement are there in the science, keeping sun stationary and earth is tilting. So with the tilted earth, we can experience that 23 degrees tilt up and down. So it's like relative explanations, both are.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu.
Correction.
Hey Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvir Pranams. Prabhuji, I did not understand what is windows you're talking about. I mean, is that some kind of a lens, or I mean, what is that exactly?
No, it is not exactly window. Window in the sense, so for example, we are inside our room. So we have a window within our room, and through the window we see the outside world. So like that, window is the place where we are trying to measure at what height, what is the amount of height they are going. So where we can measure. So at the sun's position, at how much height is going up and down, we'll not be able to measure this. This is very difficult for us to measure here. But in a position where we can draw a line connected to the topmost point and draw a line connected to the bottommost point, and we can easily measure this angle at our own place. It is like a simple mathematical experiment which we can do at our own respective place. So it is like that. Window is basically where it is a place where we can observe the movement of the planets, movement of the entities. So it's like that.
Thanks, Prabhuji. So that's like the observation point.
Yeah, it is observation point. Perfect.
Thanks so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji.
So there is a, yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, one question, Prabhu. I think you may be explaining that later, maybe. But we understood that the sun is rotating on the Manasottara mountain, right, Prabhu?
Yes.
Revolving around. But where is this vertical movement coming in, Prabhu? How that vertical?
See, we are going to talk about all those things. How exactly is going up and down? Why is doing that? This is the principle. This will be explained with a lot of examples and explanations that we will do it now.
Okay, thank you.
If there is any question in relation to this formulation and etc., some questions related to that, so we can take up.
Prabhuji, is the notion of moon and sun in the same direction, moon, sun and Rahu in the same direction and same observatory degree, or it is different at different paces? The pace is same or different?
And no, it will vary. Now, for example, on January 15th, the sun will be here. Bottommost point. So on January 15th, moon can be anywhere. So within 14 days, he kind of moves one complete movement completes. So for example, on January 15th, sun is here. And on that day, moon is here. Moon is here. January 15th. So in 1 month, in 15 days, that is almost at the end of January and January 30, sun might come here. Little above. Because every day is going little bit above, sun will come here. But the moon will come to the bottommost point. In 14 days only, moon comes to the bottommost point. In another 14 days, again, moon goes to the topmost point. They have their individual motion separately. And for the sun to move from here to here, it will take 6 months. And from here to here, another 6 months. And moon only 14 days. From here to here, 14 days. And here to here, 14 days. But Rahu, from here to here, it will take 9 years. 9 long years. They have different times.
Thank you.
This is not something theoretical. We can actually observe every day. I don't know in the West, wherever you are there, if you are in the Northern Hemisphere, little above 20 degrees latitude and more than that, you may not be able to pursue very precisely. But if you are close to line of equator, you can actually perceive it very clearly. The moon going up and down. Over 1 month, if you observe the position of the moon. So for example, today I see the moon somewhere here. After 15 days, I see the moon rising or sitting this side. In the east or west. So I can clearly see the moon's movement. And for sun movement, we need to wait for 6 months. So currently we are in the month of April. So in the last 3 months back, January, the sun was rising this corner of the room in this direction. And now sun is exactly rising in front of my eyes. And in the upcoming months, sun will go this side. By the middle of the July, sun will be this side. It will be rising this side. So this is actually practically perceivable phenomena. It is not something theoretical.
Prabhuji, I just have one question. This is a follow-up to the other question the other Prabhuji asked. I didn't understand the tilt you talked about, 23 degrees.
That is generally what we read in the school. The school will say that Earth is tilted by 23 degrees. Now this, the line connecting North Pole, South Pole, this is North Pole, this is South Pole, it is like perpendicular. But in the modern sense, they say that it is supposed like this. Earth is actually tilted. Now Earth is like this, it is actually tilted like this. Earth is always like this. So when Earth is like this, when sun is here, the North Pole is full bright during the months of May, June, July, August, September, etc. And in other 6 months, when Earth comes this side, the sun will be here. So then the South Pole will be full bright. So that's how they explain the concept of seasons, etc. I'll show you one video about that later on. Maybe end of the session. That comes at the end of the session.
Hare Krishna.
The relative concept. Here we have Earth stationary and sun is moving around. There the sun is stationary, Earth is moving around. In order to explain this phenomenon of sun going up and down, they keep the Earth tilted. So that will accommodate that vertical motion of sun.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have a very silly question, maybe.
So the earth, we are saying it's not moving, like rotation and revolution, both ways it's not moving.
That's what scriptures say.
Okay. So how does the day and night happen? And so this seasonality is explained through this phase, Uttarayan, Dakshinayan. How does day and night happen? Can you please clarify on that?
I'm extremely sorry. In the previous classes, we discussed it. If you still want, I'll just go back. You have permission of other devotees, I'll quickly go back and then I'll show you small animation about that, how day and night happens. Because we discussed about it in the previous classes. So maybe it might be here. If it is here, we'll see, hopefully. So previously, the starting point, sun is here. When sun is here, this part of the earth will be bright. And this part of the earth will be dark. As sun moves, the portion that is exposed to sun will be bright. So as sun moves, so like this. Now this part of the earth is bright and this part of the earth will be dark. And eventually in due course of time, in another 6 hours, when sun goes here, now this part of the earth is bright and this part of the earth is dark. As it goes further, so now when sun is here, this part of the earth is bright and this part of the earth is dark. And eventually, when again sun comes here, this part of the earth is bright and this part of the earth is bright and this part of the earth is dark. Basically, when sun is here, in India, we'll have sunrise. In America, you are about to have sunset. And in Japan and other southern countries in Pacific, they'll be having midday. And here in the Africa and all, they'll be having midnight. When sun, after 6 hours, when sun comes here, that will be midday in India. It is midnight. That time it is midnight in America. And it will be sun rising in Africa, sun setting in Japan. When sun goes here, it will be midday in Africa and sunset in India and sunrise in America and midnight in Japan. It's like that. The day night will be explained.
So thank you, Prabhu. I thought you mentioned that this movement takes 1 year.
This circular movement will take 1 day, 24 hours. So what takes 1 year is, see now, if you see here, the Kala Chakra is going along with the sun is going along with the Kala Chakra, both going together. Here you don't see any apparent relative motion between those two. But actually there is a relative motion between those two. How much is that? So over every day, the sun lags behind by 1 degree. So when Kala Chakra completes 360 degrees motion, the sun completes approximately 359 degrees motion. There is 1 degree relative difference there. You see, there is a difference of these two lines. That is 1 degree. So every day it is lagging behind by 1 degree. If you allow that, so day by day, you see the same timestamp. Whenever the time will come to original position, we take one timestamp. So we capture them day after day, sun seems to be going backward. So over 1 year, over 360 days, sun is going backward every day, 1 degree, 1 degree, 1 degree. Cumulatively, it goes backward by 360 degrees. That is the concept of 1 year.
Thank you so much.
On a normal daily basis, the sun is moving clockwise direction. But because of the relative motion with respect to the time wheel, the sun appears to be moving backward. So basically, by the end of the year, the time wheel does 366 clockwise revolutions and sun does 365 clockwise revolutions. That's why we have 365 days in a year. So that is the concept of year.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for clarification.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
please.
Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, one question is, without the modern science, they calculate eclipse without the consideration of Rahu, and then the Panchangam also calculates
that we will discuss a little later. Why and how, even why they are not able to consider Rahu Ketu, we will discuss when Rahu Ketu, that eclipse concept comes. That will be at the end of the presentation. We will discuss that.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, Prabhuji, some other devotee has some questions. So basically, in one verse, Bhagavatam talks about the Uttarayana, Dakshinayana motions by indicating the numbers, what amount they are moving up and down, and where exactly it is observing and telling it, so that will give us a indication that, okay, they are moving up and down like this and this much distance. So they can be useful for us to understand and calculate, because science means all numbers in precision. So Bhagavatam, though theoretically talking about so many concepts, but once in a while they also give the numbers. So with the help of these numbers, we can actually prove what modern science is saying is there in the Bhagavatam too. So in that way, that is the whole concept. So we'll move on. But before that, I think there was a query in the chat box. So here it says that when Krishna was standing very much in front of Bhishma, it is Antakale. Why was he waiting for Uttarayana to commence? Yeah, this is a traditional procedure. If you remember Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, so one of the last verses, it says that the yogis, generally the jnana practitioners and ashtanga yoga practitioners, they want to give up their body during the Uttarayana time period or Shukla Paksha, during the daytime or in the presence of fire, because by following the path of sun, they will attain Brahman and they will never return back to this material world. So that is about the path of light. The next verse talks about path of darkness. Those karma yogis, those people who follow karma yoga, they following the path of darkness, they go to Pitruloka, that is moon planet. They will enjoy there as long as their punya allows, and then they come back. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, attaining the supreme. For more details, you can read through afterwards. Hare Krishna. So, Bhishma Deva, as an ideal example of Nishkama Karma Yogi, etc., etc., that kind of thing, is setting an example. So, it is like that it can be seen like that. Okay. So, now we are going to see so many references from Bhagavatam and other Puranas, how this concept of Uttarayana Dakshinayana has been presented. So, one more question. You talked of relative movement between Kala Chakra and Sun. So, what is Kala Chakra? If you already explained, I can go back and look. Yeah, Kala Chakra, we discussed very elaborately in the previous sessions. Kala Chakra is nothing but the 12 Rashis, which are arranged like a circular fashion, like a wheel. So that is called Kala Chakra. And upon that Kala Chakra, we have also superimposed the 27 Nakshatras. So the combined wheel of 12 Rashis and 27 Nakshatras, that means 12 zodiac signs and 27 constellations. That is called as Kala Chakra. That is acting like a prime mover. It is moving and taking all the planets along with it. So that is actually non-different from the Supreme Lord himself, who is responsible for maintaining the entire universe. Hare Krishna. So it is like that. Okay, thank you. So now we will see one after the other from various scriptures. So here is a book written by one of the Madhva scholar, Srila Vadiraja Tirtha. In that book, he says that the time wheel is lifted and lowered, because of which we can explain the concept called as Udagayana, means Uttarayana, Dakshinayana and Vishwadayana. So then it says that sun goes with respect to the line of equator northwards 5000 yojanas and southwise another 5000 yojanas. Total is 10,000 yojanas. Similarly, the moon goes upward by 10,000 yojanas with respect to the line of equator and downward by 10,000 yojanas. Total will be 20,000 yojanas. And Rahu extends upward by 15,000 yojanas and downward by 15,000 yojanas with respect to the middle point. So like that, these details are mentioned briefly in the Bhugolavaranna book. So the Vajratirtha himself talks about all these numbers, and which are same as in the Bhagavatam also. So thus, the moon completes northern and southern courses every fortnight. Or every one fortnight, the moon goes from bottommost point to topmost point. During the other fortnight, it travels from topmost point to bottommost point. Like that, it goes up and down very quickly. But sun takes 6 months. So then, from Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Verse number 31, Parpat. To make daylight into the daylight in the other part. So we have discussed this very nicely in the beginning classes. Like when Privrat Maharaj was ruling, half of the Bhumandala was experiencing daytime, half of the Bhumandala was nighttime. He was not happy. So he himself expanded as second sun. He himself expanded to second form and became the second sun. And he created day wherever it was night. So during that time, he was traveling in 7 cycles for 25.76 days in each cycle. The precise number is like this. So approximately 26 days. So then, as he was traveling, Bhagavatam in the commentary said that he rode in each of these 7 chariots for 25 days and 45.5 ghatikas. So in a day, there are 60 ghatikas. So approximately one ghatika is equal to 24 minutes, little less than half an hour. So 45.5 ghatikas is equal to 0.76 days. It is almost one day is equal to 60 ghatikas. 45 ghatikas is 3/4 day, like that. 24 days plus 3/4 day, 25.76 days for 7 times. It is total 180, like half year. Starting with summer solstice, that is Karka Sankranti, which comes in the month of July, July 16th generally, with the sun gradually descending until Paushamath. So in the commentary, it is said that following the movements of sun, since sun is gradually descending, Priyavrat Maharaj also gradually descending. So I am taking this one particular phrase, sun is descending. So there they say that sun is actually coming downward towards true south. Since the Bhumandala is like this, for the first 6 months, Priyavrat Maharaj also gradually descending, because sun is descending and he also descends. Because the Bhumandala itself is kind of taper downward. So obviously Priyavrat Maharaj also comes downward. And then again, starting from the winter solstice, that is Makar Sankranti, January 15th, Priyavrat Maharaj would travel until the cycle was completed with the same number of days fixed, that is 26 days approximately, but with the opposite order of the chariots, with the sun gradually ascending. That means from January 15th to July 16th, the sun is gradually ascending. That is, sun is gradually going towards true north. So that is what is indicated there. So this is one more reference about sun going up and down here. Since sun is also going up and down, Priyavrat Maharaj is also going upward during 6 months. So 6 months Priyavrat Maharaj is going downward, 6 months Priyavrat Maharaj is going upward. He is simply following sun. Since sun is going up and down, Priyavrat Maharaj is also going up and down. So like that we need to understand. Now, one more reference from Linga Purana. Linga Purana very nicely says that there are 180 circles between the north and the south extreme points. So, the chariot of the sun is connected to 7 horses, and the 7 horses are controlled by Dhruva. There are 2 ropes connected to the yoke to which the 7 horses are connected. The ropes are connected to, they are given to Dhruva. Dhruva actually controls the motion of sun. So Dhruva pulls the 2 ropes up. As the Dhruva pulls the 2 ropes, the sun moves towards sun. As the 2 moves towards Dhruva Loka. As a result of that, the ropes become shorter. And the chariot is dragged into the inner tracks. So day after day for 180 days, slowly the chariot of sun moves toward Dhruva Loka. As a result of that, the chariot is coming inward. So the radius of the orbit in which the sun is traveling on that particular day, it gradually reduces. The previous day sun is at far distant, the next day it becomes smaller. As a result of that, the circumference of the orbit also becomes smaller. And so in one day, the sun is supposed to complete one round. If the radius is more, the circumference will be more. The sun's chariot had to run very fast. The horses have to run very fast. They need to cover longer distance. But as the radius decreases, circumference decreases, the speed of the sun's chariot also decreases. So that we can understand very easily from this picture. So on Makar Sankranti, the sun is located just above. Just above Manasutra mountain. But day by day, since Dhruva is pulling the chariot towards himself, so on the Makara Sankranti day, the sun's orbit is like this, very big orbit. In due course of time, the orbit becomes smaller. In due course of time, the orbit becomes much smaller and much smaller, much smaller. Finally, on July 17th, the orbit will be very, very, very small. Small mathematical understanding is that in January, so this is the orbit is very big, the radius is very big, the circumference is also very big. So in one day, the morning sun starts here, at noon he comes here, in the evening he will be here, in the midnight again sun is here, in the next day morning is here. So he has to travel a lot of distance. So the chariot has to run with high speed because he only has 24 hours. Again, within 24 hours, the sun's chariot has to come here. But a month later, the orbital radius becomes shorter. Circumference becomes shorter. So sun's chariot can run little slower speed. But eventually in the month of July, it is a small radius, small circumference. The sun travels very slow. On a day course, it travels very slow. So that is the understanding. Because since Dhruva is pulling towards himself, the sun is going towards Dhruva. As a result of which, sun is going upward also, as well sun is coming inward also. Both the motions are there. Sun is going upward towards the true north, as well sun is coming inside. So very close to Bharatakanda in that sense, or pole star. So both movements are there. Then here, same thing in the opposite order. So during Dakshinayana, the two ropes held by Dhruva are loosened. So they become longer. The chariot goes into outer tracks. So day after day, the radius increases, circumference increases, and the speed of the horses also supposed to increase. Same thing you can see here. As the ropes are loosened, the sun is gradually going outward, 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 outward. But the chariot has to run. So there are two motions. So if you are still familiar with our basic mathematics, for a circle, when some entity is moving on a circumference, there is a linear speed. That is called V. V is equal to dx by dt. The change of rate of the distance, change of rate of the distance, that is dx by dt, is like number of meters per second, something like that. That is a linear speed. But for a circle, we also have angular speed, omega. Omega is equal to d theta by dt. So rate of change of angle for a given amount of time. And that is like the d theta by dt. That is the angular moment. The interrelation between angular speed to linear speed is omega is equal to V is equal to R omega or something like that. I remember V is equal to R omega or something like that. L is equal to R theta and V is equal to R omega. So V is equal to R omega means linear speed is equal to the radius into angular speed. Here angular speed is fixed. For every orbit, the sun had to complete one round, that is 360 degrees. 360 degrees per 24 hours. There is no change in the angular speed. So if the angular speed is constant, V is equal to R omega. If omega is constant, V is directly proportional to R. If R is increasing, V will increase. So here R is more and linear speed V is more. Here R is less, linear speed is less. So that is a simple mathematical concept. Okay, there is something, some devotees are asking that some days seems to be longer, some days seems to be shorter. That we will discuss, maybe a couple of slides later. Why some days are more, some days are less, we'll discuss. So here we are simply talking about the speed of the chariot of the sun. So nothing to do with the daytime and nighttime. That has a different reason for why day and night are becoming more and less. That has got a different reason. Here basically we are talking about sun is going up as well as down, also going in and out. As a result of that, the speed of the sun is reducing and increasing. So there is a question in the chart box. If Dhruva Loka is there, then where are the other loka situated? So in the previous classes, we discussed that Dhruva Loka is here and this is Bhuloka. And from here to the moon, this entire area is called Bhuvar Loka. And from here up to Dhruva Loka, this entire area is called as Swarga Loka. This is Bhuloka, this is Bhuvar Loka, and this is Swarga Loka. And topmost point of Swarga Loka is Dhruva Loka. And above Dhruva Loka, we have Mahar Loka here, Jana Loka here, Tapa Loka here, Sati Loka here. The upper four planet systems are above. So there is a question that now we are in Dakshinayana and the sun is moving downward. So you please tell me now in which one. This I am saying, this is January, Makara Sankranti is here and Karka Sankranti is here. This is January 15th and this is July 17th. Now we are in April. So January to July, it is called Uttarayana and July to January is called Dakshinayana. Because January to July, sun is going upward. That is called Uttarayana. And July to January, sun is coming downward. That is called Dakshinayana. So currently we are in Uttarayana. The Uttarayana begins on Makara Sankranti and all the way up to Karaka Sankranti, that comes in July. So it is like that. The same concept is again mentioned in the Vishnu Purana also. Vishnu Purana says that there are 180 circular paths. The sun traverses in two directions by his elevated and inclined rate of movement. When Dhruva pulls the two ropes tied to the yoke connecting the seven horses, the sun moves toward the inner orbit, which is elevated more than the previous one. The inner orbit is elevated, it is located just above the inner orbit, the previous orbit, because of which the track radius decreases daily. And the chariot speed also decreases daily. The same concept. Here you can see it is like this. From January to July, as Dhruva pulls the ropes, the chariot goes into the inner orbit, which is elevated than the previous orbit. So previously, in the month of January, sun is traveling here, January 15th. The next day, sun will be traveling in orbit, which is elevated than the previous orbit, but which is inside. And next one will be elevated inside, like that every day. So sun will be going inside as well, going upward from January to July. July to January. It is like this. So this is how the different Puranas explain the concept of Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. It is still theory. Why and how the sun goes upward and downward? Of course, Dhruva is pulling through the two ropes. But in addition to this reason, there is one more reason that is explained in the Bhagavatam itself. Okay. Before Bhagavatam, there is one more one more Purana. Far end of Dakshinayana. That means at the far end of Dakshinayana, sun is here. When sun is here on this particular day, the sun is situated just above Manasuttara mountain and seventh island. If you see, on January 15th, Makar Sankranti, sun is located exactly above Manasuttara mountain, but not always. At other times, sun will be inside. So, 1 second. sorry. So, like that, Vayu Purana says that at the far end of Dakshinayana, the sun is located above Manasuttara mountain, which is in the seventh island. Similarly, during equinox point in the middle, in the month of April and in the month of October, the sun will be located on the north side of the Milk Ocean. That is the sixth ocean. The sixth Milk Ocean is sixth ocean above that. And at the far end of Uttarayana, in the month of July, the sun is located in the northern regions of the sixth island, that is Shakadvipa. So Vayu Purana gives exactly at what position they are located. So basically, from the height wise, if you see, this is above seventh island, when sun in the middle, that is above seventh ocean, say sixth ocean, and the bottommost point will be above sixth island. So exact location of the sun is also mentioned. So it is like that. So Puranas give more details. So here is a question from chart box. If the distance of the sun decreases as it moves, then also it takes 24 hours to rotate. And thus, that's why we feel some days are long in some months and less in other months. Prabhuji, I will explain why the days and nights are less and more. It has nothing to do with the speed of the sun. So kindly wait for a few minutes. I will explain why they are becoming more and less. So you don't have to analyze right now. Okay, thank you. So Vayu Purana gives the position of the sun at the far end of Dakshinayana, at the far end of Uttarayana, and exactly in the middle point in the month of April and in the month of October. So, and they also talk about what is the circumference of the orbit in which the sun is revolving. Based on that, we can get the diameter and radius also we can get. So the radius at the far end of Dakshinayana is 15.75, that is the seventh island. And during Vishvayana position, that is the month of April and October, it will be around 12.7, that is above sixth ocean. And at the far end of Uttarayana, it will be 11.9 million yojana, that is above sixth island. So even our scriptures also give details about where they are located from the vertical observation. So for those who are interested to correlate with modern science and Vedic literatures, these numbers will be helpful for them to understand. So thus, during Uttarayana, the sun starts moving toward the inner circles, and during Dakshinayana, the sun starts moving towards outer circles. Circle means outer orbits. So each width, the width of each track is 21,221 yojanas. This number we have used sometime back during that calculations. So it is like that. So during the Vishvata time, exactly in the middle of April and in the middle of October, all over the Earth globe, we have 24 hours daytime, as 12 hours daytime and 12 hours nighttime. Only on that one particular day, all over Earth will have same amount of day and same amount of time, night. Otherwise, during the other times, the daytime number of hours of the day will be different from the number of hours of the night. So why it is like that, we will discuss in the upcoming slides. So Uttarayana is from the month from January 15th to July 16th, and Dakshinayana is from July 17th to January 14th. So these are from Vedic literatures. All the literatures are talking about the same thing. Vayu Purana, Vishnu Purana, Linga Purana, Bhugola Varnanam, Bhagavatam. So multiple scriptures are talking about the same thing. Maybe little details may be a little different, but otherwise concept is same. So now finally, why and how? One more important reason from Srimad Bhagavatam. We have discussed about Shishumara planetary systems, which a yogi observes like a dolphin swimming across the ocean. So the dolphin head is downward and tail is upward. On top of the tail, we have Dhruvaloka. And all over we have the planets, Rashis, Nakshatras and stars. They are all connected to Dhruvaloka through a rope made up of wind. These are all ropes. These are all called as Vatarashmis. They are actually, with the help of these ropes, Dhruva Maharaj, who is there in Dhruvaloka, controls the motion of all the planets, nakshatras and stars and constellations. All their motion is under the control of Dhruva Maharaj. And that is where we have seen all these things. Like on top of the tail, we have Dhruvaloka and other things. These are different positions of all the different planets that we have seen. And in the same chapter, in two verses, it talks about the position of the 28 nakshatras. Here we have shown approximately the 28 nakshatras are like this. 14 nakshatras on the right side of the dolphin, 14 on the left side of the dolphin. But what is the exact position of all these 28 nakshatras? So with that, we understand what is the way, how the Kala Chakra is situated. So Saturn is here, Saptarishi Mandal is here, and Sun is here. Ashwini Kumaras, Rahu and Yamaraja are located here. So with reference to these positions, we can see now. So 14 stars are on the right side, starting from Abhijit all the way up to Punarvasu, they are on the right side of the dolphin. And 14 stars on the left side, Pushya to Uttarashada. So out of these 28 stars, who is located where? The stars named Punarvasu and Pushya are located on the right and left sides of the loins. Loins means in between hips and the genitals. The location where hips are located is the location of the seven stars. Where genitals are located is the location of the Saturn. If you see, Saptarishis are here, Saturn are here. In between Saptarishis and Saturn, somewhere here, is Punarvasu and Pushya. Punarvasu and Pushya are located between Saptarishis and Saturn. So their location is here. And then Ardra and Ashada are also located between Saptarishis and Saturn. They are also here. Ardra and Ashada also, they are also Ashlesha. They are also here. And Abhijit and Uttarashada, they are located below Rahu and below Agasthi and below Yamaraja. That means Abhijit Nakshatra and Uttarashada Nakshatra are below, are somewhere here. Punarvasu, Ashlesha are here and Abhijit and Ashada are here. The exact location of these nakshatras is being mentioned. And then, if you go to the next slide, Shravana and Purvashada, they are located below Rahu, below Agasthi, but above Yamaraj. Shravana and Purvashada are located little above. Ashada and Abhijit are located below here, and the current two nakshatras are located in between. Between Yamaraja and Rahu, somewhere here. They are gradually going upward in that sense. And then Dhanishta and Mula, they are located above Rahu. Shatabhisha and Jeshta, they are located above Rahu and below Sun. And the remaining eight stars from Magha to Anuradha, they are located below Saturn and above Rahu. Similarly, on the left side, 8 stars from Mrugashira to Purvavadra, they are located below Saturn and above Rahu. So like that. In the previous discussions, we always showed them on a plane. Like that Kala Chakra is like a plane. And 12 nakshatras, 12 rashis are like this. And 27 nakshatras are surrounding them. Like that we have shown. But now, based on the current description, it is like this. So this is the dolphin. And below the dolphin, we have the Bhumandala here. And above the dolphin, Dhruvloka we have here. So with respect to Dhruvloka and the Bhumandala, the Purvashada, Uttarashada and Shravana are located at the bottommost point, and Pushya and Ardra, Ashlesha, they are located in the topmost point, and remaining nakshatras are somewhere here in between. So like that. So the Kala Chakra is not a plane. Instead, it is actually an inclined one. So the Abhijit Nakshatra is located here, and Pushya and Ashlesha located here. So with this inclined plane, when it moves, it will move like this. When the Kala Chakra is making round, the top one is always at the top only. And the bottom one is always at the bottom only. The middle one is always at the middle. So Kala Chakra itself is an inclined chakra. It will be making rounds like this always with respect to the central axis. So in the month of January, Sun is here. So since Sun is in Makara Rashi, since Kala Chakra will be revolving like this, Sun will be at the bottom only, you will be making circle like this. But when it comes to April, Sun will be in Mesha Rashi. In April, Sun will be moving along with the Mesha Rashi like this. So the Sun's orbit will be in the middle. In the month of July, Sun's orbit will be in the top. That means in the month of January, Sun is here. So Sun's orbit will be here. in the month of April, Sun will be in Mesha. So Sun's orbit will be here. In the month of June, Sun will be here. So Sun's orbit will be here. Like that, Sun's orbit is gradually going upward and coming downward because of the position of Kalachakra is like this. Same thing we can see here. So basically, in the month of January, since Sun is in Makar Rashi, the Sun's orbit will be like this. And maybe a couple of days later, as Sun is going upward, Sun's orbit will be here. Sun's orbit will be here. Sun's orbit will be here. Whatever dot line you see, that is the orbit of that particular day of the Sun. This is how the Sun's orbit is gradually moving upward and coming downward because Kalachakra is like this. Kalachakra is inclined. Since Sun is traveling along with Kalachakra, passing through each and every Rashi day after day, as the Rashi located above, Rashi and Nakshatra located gradually above, Sun is also moving above, and coming downward like this. In an inclined side, if you come this side, you see this is the dolphin, and this Kalachakra will be revolving like this. And now we have got Sun. In the month of January, Sun will be in Mesha Rashi. So the Sun's orbit will be like this. This is the daily orbit. Day after day, the orbit gradually goes upward. July, October, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January. January to July. July to January. So this is how, since the Kalachakra is inclined, the Sun is also going up and down, taking its orbit above and below. This is what causes the Uttarayana movement of the Sun and Dakshinayana movement of the Sun. So normally, for our normal understanding, we can say that this is like the spring kind of thing. The Sun is going every day up and gradually up. By the end of July 7th, 16th is here. And then he's gradually returning. But as he's going upward, he also comes inside. So this, it will be like the orbit of the Sun will be like that. In January, the orbit is very big, gradually reducing. In the month of June, July, it will be very small. It will be like helical spring kind of arrangement for the orbit of the Sun. So this concept is explained in the Bhagavatam. 23rd chapter of 5th canto. Though details are may not mentioned, but when you deduce it based on the location of the different nakshatras with respect to the position of the planets in the Shishumara planetary systems, we understand that the Kalachakra is not flat like this, but is inclined plane. Since Sun is passing through all the nakshatras, all the rashis, along with the Kalachakra, the Sun is also gradually rising up for 6 months and gradually coming down another 6 months. So it is like that. So thus, during Uttarayana, as the Sun speed is gradually reducing, because the Sun is coming into the inner orbits, smaller orbits, it is also ascending in the sky, he moves through the 6 zodiac signs. Gradually, the day becomes long, days become longer, and the night becomes shorter. It is from Makara Rashi to Mithuna Rashi, that is from Capricorn to Gemini. The same thing happens in the opposite order during Dakshinayana. The days become shorter and nights become longer. We'll see now why they become longer and etc. It is from Cancer to Sagittarius. So this is Makara to Mithuna is Uttarayana. And Karaka to Dhanu is the Dakshinayana course of the Sun. And during equinoxes with the medium speed, the days and nights become equal. But only on one day in the year, the day will be 12 hours and night will be 12 hours. And month by month, the daytime will increase by 24 minutes, month after month, from January to July. And July to January, the daytime will decrease month by 24 minutes. So it's like that. So Bhagavatam, in order to help us understand, yes, Sun comes inside and outside, goes above and down, is also mentioned in 3 verses, 21:10, 21:12, 21:19, by telling the speed of the Sun, which gives us the numbers in the month of January. Of course, here with respect to this work, the radius of the orbit will be 15.85. It is 17. It is 18. So it's like that. The outside value pi is equal to 3. The inside bracket value pi is equal to 3.14. Little difference. So it is like that. So that is about different explanations that are given in different scriptures. Why sun is going up and down from Bhugola Varnanam, from Linga Purana, from Vishnu Purana, from Vayu Purana, from Bhagavat Purana. From Bhagavat Purana also multiple references, one from first chapter, one from 23rd chapter, etc., etc. So these are the different reasons because of which sun becomes, the sun goes up and down, etc. So now we'll see quickly why the daytime and nighttime, because this up and down movement of the sun, the day number of hours in the daytime, number of hours in the nighttime will vary at various places on the surface of the Earth globe. How much they vary? We see here. On January 14th, Makar Sankranti day, sun is located in the bottommost point. On that particular day, the South Pole is completely brightened. It is fully bright because on this day, sun is seems to be below Earth globe. So when sun is making a revolution here, the South Pole is completely bright. North Pole is completely dark. So on this particular day on 15th January, on the North Pole, it is 0 hours daytime and 24 hours nighttime. And the South Pole, it will be 24 hours daytime, 0 hours nighttime. But on the line of equator, exactly in the middle point, it will be 12 hours daytime and 12 hours nighttime. So if on Makar Sankranti day, January 15th, South Pole has 24 hours day, North Pole has 0 hours day, and line of equator has 12 hours day, and in between people will have in between number of hours of daytime and in between number of hours of nighttime. If this fellow is 24 hours day, this fellow will be having 23 hours, 22 hours, 21 hours, 20 hours, 18, 16, 14, 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, 0. That's how the number of hours and day varies from place to place. And now, as time progresses, over a period of 3 months, as sun is gradually going upward, as it reaches line of equator, one day before sun reaches line of equator, on the South Pole, it will be 24 hours day and 0 hours night. On the day when sun enters into the line of equator, it will be 12 hours day and 12 hours night. And one day later, when sun enters into northern hemisphere, the South Pole will have 0 hours day and 24 hours night. Within a matter of 2 to 3 days, the South Pole, which was experiencing complete day, will start experiencing complete night. The same thing happens in the opposite order in the North Pole. So one day before it was complete night, one day later it will be complete day, but on that day when sun is entering into line of equator, it will be 12 hours day and 12 hours night. But on the line of equator, throughout this 6 months transition, it will be continuously 12 hours day, 12 hours night. Same thing as you go little above for another 3 months as sun is going towards Cancer. So then we see that when sun reaches the northernmost point, the North Pole will have 24 hours day, 0 hours night. South Pole will have 0 hours day, 24 hours night. Line of equator, 12 hours day, 12 hours night. So starting from this day, so one day after sun enters into April, that after from April 18th onwards, the North Pole starts experiencing 24 hours day. South Pole starts experiencing 24 hours night only. It still continues even till October, till July, it still continues. But as sun comes back gradually, slowly, day by day after day, by 3 months, in around 16th October. So one day before, it is still 24 hours day in the North Pole and 24 hours night on the South Pole. But one day later, it becomes opposite. One day later, it becomes 0 day on the North Pole. It becomes 24 hours day on the South Pole. But on that day, when sun is exactly on the line of equator, it will be 12 hours daytime, 12 hours nighttime, both North Pole and South Pole, as well in the line of equator and also as well. On this particular day, throughout the Earth, everyone will have 12 hours day, 12 hours night. So that is experienced. And then in another 3 months again sun comes to the line of the Makar Sankranti, the line of Capricorn. So then again same thing as we started with, the South Pole will continue to have 24 hours daytime and North Pole will continue to have 24 hours nighttime. So basically, if you see the previous slide, this is October and this is April. Starting from 17th April, the North Pole will continue to have 24 hours daytime. And if they continue to have daytime only, 24 hours daytime, all the way up to 15th October. That means from the middle of April to middle of October, the North Pole for 6 months, they continue to have 24 hours daytime. And South Pole, during that time, they continue to have nighttime. In the other 6 months, the South Pole continue to have nighttime, daytime, and North Pole continue to have nighttime. That is from October to April. While sun is going up and down, the in-between regions starts having the different number of hours of day and different number of hours of night. That is because of the relative position of the sun with respect to the Earth globe. So Earth globe is here, the sun is here, sun goes upward and downward. When sun is upward, here 24 hours, here 0 hours, here 12 hours, the number of hours of day gradually reduces. 24 hours, 22 hours, 20 hours. It's like that. When it is 24 hours here, 22 hours, 20 hours, 18 hours, 16 hours, 14 hours, 12 hours here, line of equator. Then 10 hours, 8 hours, 6 hours, 4 hours, 2 hours, 0 hours. Like that, it gradually varies. When the same sum comes to the South Pole, so the southern hemisphere side, the number of hours in the southern side will be more in the daytime, in here less in the daytime. So it's like that. So this is the concept. Because Earth is spherical, Earth is globular, we have number of day hours and night hours are proportional to the position of the sun at that particular time. So here you see, as sun gradually goes upward, the area which is brightened by the sunlight varies. So it is like this. So this is the path of the sun. As you daily observe, January Makar Sankranti onwards, it goes like this and it goes inside, goes all the way to the top and gradually comes down, gradually comes down. So this is the path sun follows for over a year, passing through different zodiac signs. So here is entering into Makara, Makara, Kumbha, Meena, Mesha, Rishabha, Mithuna. He's kind of going like this and eventually coming down like this. This is actually the modern scientists observed and they actually call it as analemma. This eight kind of path of the sun, that is called as analemma. So this is what we can observe when you see as a third person observer in the space. But from the Earth, when you observe, in the month of January, the orbit of sun will be like here. In the month of July, the orbit will be like this. Sorry, in the month of April. And then in the month of July, the orbit will be here. And again, in October, it will be here. And then in January, it will be here. So like that, so 0 hours day means 24 hours night only. In the North Pole or South Pole, you can see, check with someone, they have 24 hours day and 0 hours night. And within a normal daytime, within 24 hours, when they have 24 hours for this, in this position, the South Pole will have, when sun is moving like this, at any given point of time, the South Pole is always bright. So 24 hours are bright only. So it is like that. So for a person standing on the line of equator, they will have the movement of sun like this. So actually, of course, that is 6 months day, 6 months night, because for 6 months, it is not changing only. So in a normal hour day to day, the person who is on the line of equator, who has 12 hours day, 12 hours night, with respect to him, on the South Pole, those 24 hours will be daytime only. That daytime will continue for 6 months. That's how the North Pole or South Pole will have 6 months daytime, 6 months nighttime. That is a cumulative experience. But with respect to day, within a day of 24 hours, they have continuous day only. So it is like that. So for a person on the line of equator, he will experience the movement of sun like this. As in Mumbai, at least, I'm not exactly equator, but somewhere close to an equator. So in the month of January, I see sun rising here, sun midday, I see sun here, sun setting here. So sun's orbit will be somewhere here. And currently in the month of April, I see sun is exactly above me, is like this. And the month of July, maybe a couple of months later, I'll see sun rising there, noontime is here, and setting here, like this. That is what the experience is here. Exactly in the line of equator, you see that sun is here in the month of January, in the month of April, and in the month of July. And for a person on the line of Cancer, 24 degrees north, you will see like this. In January, you will see sun's orbit like this. In May, April or October, you will see orbit like this. In July, you will see orbit like this. And he is a person standing in the line of Capricorn, 24 degrees south. He will have the, he will experience the sun's path like this. This is January, this is April, this is July, and this is October, and this is again January. So like that. The experience will vary from place to place with respect to where we stand and where we are staying. So this is the kind of path of sun they will get to experience. For a person on the North Pole, he will see. So when the sun is below line of equator, he will never see the sun. That's why he will have 24 hours nighttime only. From October 16th onwards, all the way up to January 14th, and again up to April 14th, he will not be able to see sun only. Sun will be below only. So that's why the North Pole person will have 26 months nighttime only. Similarly, for the South Pole person, the sun will be downward only. So he will never get to see the sun. That's why they will have complete nighttime for 6 months. So this is how the experience of the people at different places vary from with respect to the other people. That's why we see the line of equator always they have 12 hours daytime, 12 hours nighttime. The observation of sun over a year, which modern science call it as analemma, it is like this. Here you can see the number of hours we can captured. For example, in Greenland, which is 75 degrees north, in the month of June, they have 24 hours daytime. The daytime is equal to 24 hours, full day only, there is no night at all in June. In September, their daytime will be 11 hours and nighttime is 13 hours. In December, they have 0 hours of daytime. That means 24 hours night only. The whole day will be night only in Greenland in the month of December. In March, they have 15 hours daytime in the 13 hours. 11 hours, 15, not 12 plus 3, and 9 hours night time. So it's like that. Mumbai, where we are staying now. So in June, we have 13 hours daytime, September, 12 hours daytime, December, 11 hours daytime, March, 12 hours night time, 12 hours and 20 minutes, something like that. In Singapore, which is exactly on the line of equator, 1 degree north, 12 hours. Throughout the year, they have 12 hours daytime, 12 hours nighttime. No change. Cape Town, 35 degrees south, 10 hours, 12 and a half hours, 14 and a half hours, 12 hours. Argentina, minus 40 degrees south, 9 and a half hours, 12 and a half hours, 15 hours, 11 and a half hours. The bottommost point, Cape Horn, minus 55 degrees, that is 55 south, 7 hours daytime. Here, 24 hours daytime. Here 7 hours daytime. The same month, same day and same day, exactly opposite. And here 12 and a half hours, because this is in the month of very close to October, it is like this. Here 17 hours or 18 hours daytime, here 0 hours daytime in the month of December. Here these people will have more daytime, these people have no daytime only. And in the March, 9.5 hours. So like that. Because these places are located in those respective places like this. Greenland is on the more northern side. Mumbai is somewhere close to the line of equator. Singapore is on the line of equator. Cape Town, Cape Horn. So it's like that. So these people will have varied number of hours of daytime and nighttime for a period of a year. Because the sun is going upward and downward. Because the relative position of the sun with respect to them. So it is like that. Of course, night means no sunrise in that place, in that sense. So this is how, because of the Uttarayana Dakshinayana movements of sun, we have the day and night times varying at different places. So this is what we can see here. So now with respect to Bombay or with respect to India, which is little above the line of equator. So as sun is moving from Makar Sankranti onwards, like this. When sun is in the far south during the month of December, January, in India, we have intense cold. As sun starts return journey from January to April, our temperature is gradually increasing. And from April onwards, sun is coming closer towards India. So our temperature starts increasing, especially in the month of May and June, we have intense summer and it goes upward to the topmost point. In the meantime, sun already evaporated a lot of water. The sky ether is filled with a lot of clouds. And as sun starts reverse journey, then by the way, as the water is evaporated, as the temperatures increases, the wind becomes hot and it goes upward. It creates vacuum or low pressure at the areas close to the earth. As a result, these areas will suck a wind from other places. And the wind comes in to fill the low pressure areas. They also carry the clouds inside. As the clouds come in, eventually they downpour and they create rain. So after summer, because of the summer, there is evaporating of the water, heating of the wind, low pressure created. As a result, it sucks in the air. As a result, intense wind comes in. They bring forth a lot of clouds and there will be rains in the upcoming 3 months. July, August, September, all the way up to October, there will be so many rains. And after October, the sun enters into southern hemisphere and sun is going farther away from the India. And in India, we have winter during that time. Similarly, in the southern hemisphere, in Australia, for example, after October, as sun goes downward in the month of November, December, they will have summer and sun reaches the bottommost point in the month of January. As sun starts river journey, they will have rainy season during that time and sun goes upward like that. Even in the return journey of the sun in the month of October, in Mumbai, we have a little comparatively more heat because the sun is located exactly overhead India. So that is the reason. So maybe Australia also may have comparatively little warmer weather in the month of February. So this is how the seasons change because of the relative position of the sun with respect to the earth, geography of the earth. When sun is in the northern hemisphere people will have summer, southern hemisphere people will have winter. When the sun is in the southern hemisphere, the southern hemisphere people will have summer, the northern hemisphere people will have winter. Since during summer, the sun is evaporating water, followed by summer, there will be rainy season, autumn. So they are like interdependent on each other. They continue to go like this. So this is how the seasons are being formed over a period of a year. We have different variety of seasons. So here is a small animation which shows about the concept of Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. So this is the time wheel, inclined Kala Chakra. It is like this. On a normal day, the sun and moon are moving around the earth along with Kala Chakra. The Kala Chakra also is moving in an inclined way. You can see here. Now, one full month is chosen. In one full month, what happens? You see the moon. Here the moon is going around, but here moon is going upward as well. Again, come downward. Here the bottommost point and coming to the medium point. So in 1 month, the moon goes upward and comes down. That is Uttarayana, Dakshinayana of the moon within a period of 1 month. This is the front view. This is the top view. So when you see like this, it appears like this. So now I think 1 year is being selected. Or right angle. In a right angle, this is the same thing, 1 month. So the moon is going up topmost point and gradually coming down bottommost point and coming to the middle point again within a period of 29.6 days. That is 1 month. One lunar month is 29.6 days. So in that way, 29.6 days. So now 1 year. So within 1 year, we have the sun's Uttarayana Dakshinayana once, but moon's 13 times. Sun is going towards upward, sun in the maximum point in the month of July and gradually coming downward July, August, September, October, November, December, January, Makar Sankranti, January 15th, and starts river journey going upward. January, February, March, April. In the meantime, moon had made 13 times up and down, up and down, up and down in his own position. So this is how the Uttarayana, Dakshinayana concepts of sun and moon are being presented in Bhagavatam and other scriptures. So that is all about Uttarayana, Dakshinayana, how the so it is like that. So we'll take some questions maybe after 5-10 minutes because we have a couple of slides more about the eclipses. Then we'll take questions all together. Briefly, we'll discuss about eclipse. So this concept we discussed about in the previous discussion. So during Samudra Manthan episode, when nectar was obtained, eventually the Asura stole away the nectar part from Lord Dhanvantari. When Devatas prayed, Mohinimurti came and Mohinimurti started distributing the nectar to Devatas. So Rahu understood that we are not going to get nectar. So Rahu disguised himself as Devata and sat in between sun and moon. The red one is sun and the white one is moon. So Bhagavatam talks about Rahu alone. But Vishnu Purana talks about Rahu and Ketu both came and sat in between. So Ketu was given nectar. He already swallowed the nectar. Rahu was given nectar. His nectar is still in the mouth. In the meantime, the sun and moon identified them to be asuras. The Mohinimurti cut off their necks. Both the necks were cut off. So eventually, since they drank nectar, they cannot be left alone. So the Brahmanas, all the great sages suggested that take a snake, cut into two pieces. The snake head was connected to Ketu's body because Ketu already swallowed the nectar. Nectar is in the abdomen. The body remained alive. That head burnt into ashes. They attached the snake head to the Ketu's body. And Rahu, the nectar is still in the mouth. The mouth is still alive. The body burnt to ashes. So they have attached the snake body to the head of Rahu. So Rahu is a person with a human body, sorry, human head and snake body. Ketu is a person with snake head and human body. Because of this disfiguration, they are not at all happy. They are very angry with Rahu and Ketu. Sorry, they are very angry with sun and moon. So they wanted to take revenge against sun and moon. That revenge is called as eclipse. So whenever right time comes, whenever the moon or sun comes close to them, they actually swallow sun or moon. That's how theoretically they say. It means they actually swallow the rays of the sun or the rays of the moon that are coming to the Bharatakanda. And swallowing these good rays, the auspicious rays, they send forth their own inauspicious rays to the earth. That is not at all good for the human beings and devatas. Whenever this phenomena happens, all the devatas pray to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu releases his Sudarshana Chakra. Then, unable to tolerate the heat of the Sudarshana Chakra, Rahu and Ketu flee away from the sun and moon. So, by the time the Rahu attacks, the Rahu creates eclipse and stays and leaves, it will be a couple of muhurtas. One, two, three muhurtas. So that much amount of time the eclipse is there in our physical observation. And during that time, we were told not to do any activities outside home. Stay home and don't perform anything and chant holy names of the Supreme Lord. After eclipse is over, take bath, cook again, offer to the deities and accept it. Something like that. So in the modern science, they talk about these eclipses in relation to sun, moon, earth. As a result of that, they say that there are some eclipses called as total eclipse. Some are called a partial eclipse. Some are called annual eclipse. So different eclipses are there. So, but from Vedic literatures, the eclipse is caused by the alignment of sun, moon, earth, as well as Rahu and Ketu. So Rahu and Ketu plays a major role in the eclipse with respect to the Samudra Manthan pastime. That is the reason we don't perform anything during the eclipse hours. Otherwise, not performing anything, do any of your religious activities during the eclipse does not make any sense because the Rahu and Ketu influence is there. That's why we don't do. So in the normal scientific understanding, when the moon comes in the shadow of the earth, that causes lunar eclipse. But our Vedic understanding is that either Rahu or Ketu comes in between. So they block the moon rays and cause eclipse. And the solar eclipse is that when the moon comes in between the sun and earth, that causes lunar eclipse, the solar eclipse. But Ketu also comes, Ketu or Rahu comes also in between, who actually cause the eclipse. So this is the modern understanding of the eclipse. This is the solar eclipse. Sun is here, earth is here, and the moon is here. When the moon comes in between sun and earth, the sun rays do not fall on some portion of the earth. These people will experience darkness here because they can't see the sun. The vision of sun is blocked by the moon. That is modern understanding of solar eclipse. Similarly, for lunar eclipse, in the night time, those people who are living this part of the earth, in the night time, when sun is here and moon is here, when the moon comes in the shadow of the earth, that is where we experience lunar eclipse. That is what the modern understanding. But the Vedic understanding is that in addition to sun, moon, earth, there is someone called Rahu, Rahu or Ketu. So during this time, Rahu or Ketu comes exactly in between. And the rays of the sun, the rays of the moon, which are coming to the earth, are blocked by, are swallowed by Rahu. And Rahu sends forth his own rays during the eclipse hours. So we are supposed to be careful with this Rahu rays or Ketu rays during the eclipse, black rays. This causes solar eclipse. And similarly, the lunar eclipse is like this. So Rahu is in between, and when the moon comes under the shadow of Rahu, the moon rays are swallowed by Rahu, and Rahu sends forth his own black rays to the earth. And these people, who will not be able to see the moon during that time, are supposed to observe all the rules and regulations of an eclipse. So like that. So Rahu and Ketu play an important role in order to create an eclipse. And Rahu and Ketu cannot be seen by us, cannot be seen by a modern man, because Rahu is a black planet, Ketu is a dark brown planet. Since dark matter and dark planets cannot be seen by our telescopes, because for us to see something, we need to have sunlight. So, because these are the dark matters which absorb sunlight, which cannot be seen at all, that is understanding. So generally eclipse happens over every sixth lunar month, when there is a proper alignment of sun, moon, Rahu or Ketu with respect to the earth. So sometimes because of Adhika Mass, there could be eclipse in the fifth month or the seventh month also. That's how in a year we can have two solar eclipses and three lunar eclipses, or three lunar solar eclipses and two lunar eclipses. In total, we can have five eclipses within a year. Generally four eclipses, because one generally happens after every 6 months. Whenever there is Adhika Mass, during that year, we can have one additional eclipse. So total will be seven or four to six eclipses. So now let us see briefly how solar eclipse is happening. So now all four of them are the same line. Sun is here, moon is here, Rahu is here, and people on the earth surface are, they are experiencing solar eclipse. Exactly after 6 months, so there will be eclipse. Let us see. So little sometime back, it was like another year again, the sun, moon and earth, they are almost in the alignment only. But this will not cause eclipse because Rahu is here. Rahu should be on the same line, then only the eclipse causes. So now let's see. Third Amavasya, fourth Amavasya, fifth Amavasya, and this is sixth Amavasya. Here again, all the four came in the same line. Sun, Moon, Ketu, and Earth. Previous eclipse caused by Rahu, and this eclipse is caused by Ketu. And the next eclipse, after 6 months, it will be caused by, again, Rahu. So, first Amavasya, second Amavasya, third Amavasya, fourth Amavasya, fifth Amavasya, and now it will be sixth Amavasya. That's how the eclipse happens. Now this eclipse is caused by Rahu. Here they are not in the same line exactly. This will be caused a partial eclipse. Rahu only covers half of the moon. And in another 6 months, the next eclipse will be by Ketu. Now Ketu comes in between, he causes eclipse. So like this, with the alignment of Sun, Moon, Rahu or Ketu and Earth in the same line, we generally have eclipse over every 6 months. Though Sun, Moon and Earth comes in alignment over every month, but that will not cause eclipse. Similarly, there is a lunar eclipse. Lunar eclipse happens when the moon is in the opposite side on the powerful moon day. So now there will be eclipse. Sun is here, Earth is here, and Moon is here. And Rahu comes in between Earth and Moon. And the people on this side of the Moon, this side of the Earth will observe the lunar eclipse. This will be a partial eclipse. Half the Moon is covered. The next eclipse will happen due to Ketu. So Sun is here and Earth is in between and Moon on the other side, in between Ketu is there. So now one more, finally, the next eclipse will be because of Rahu after 6 months. So like this, we have eclipse after every 6 months, whether it is solar eclipse or lunar eclipse. But whenever there is Adhika Mas, additional month, that time we have eclipse maybe after 5 months or after 7 months. If it is after 5 months only, that time there will be an additional eclipse. So here you see perfectly aligned. Sun is here, Earth is here, Moon is here, and Rahu is in between. Because of Rahu, it will be full lunar eclipse. So like this, after every 6 months, we have eclipses. Now, for example, in the current running years, we see when the eclipses are going to come. Now we are in the year 2022. So 2022, 16th May, there is a total lunar eclipse. And 30th April, there is a partial solar eclipse. And then, on 25th October, more or less 6 months later, 6 lunar months later, partial solar eclipse, 25th October, 15 days later, this will be on Pournami. Sir, solar means Amavasya, and the 15 days later on Pournami, 8th November, we have total lunar eclipse. And then afterwards, 20th April, total solar eclipse, and 5th May, penumbral lunar eclipse. Like that, the eclipses will happen over every 6 months. Sometimes the eclipse will be, two eclipses will come next month only because of the Adhika Mas. So 5th June, there was an eclipse, and 5th July, there is another eclipse. Partial eclipses might come because this month, the Rahu was here, this month Rahu will be here. So very partial eclipse will be there. So because of which there will be fifth or sixth lunar eclipse during that year. So in that way, from Bhagavatam, with the help of few other scriptures, we can briefly explain how the passing of day and night happens with the movement of sun, how phases of the moon are changing over a period of every fortnight, increasing and decreasing, and how the seasons are changing because the sun's movement up and down, and how eclipses are happening because of the alignment of Sun, Moon, Rahu, Ketu and Earth in the same line. So this is a brief discussion about these four things. Today we have been a little faster. I'm sorry for that. If any questions, we'll take for a few minutes and then we'll stop. We are already on time. Yes, Prabhu. Amshidhari Gopal Prabhu.
Yes. Yes, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for explaining the eclipse. It was so as per the modern science, if we understand, then there should be an eclipse every 15 days. But now it is very clear that why it is coming every 6 months, as you explained. Mm-hmm. So Prabhu, I have two questions. So one is related to Rashi. So we see that as per solar calendar, you said that 14th January starting, every 14th or 15th, we have a change of Rashi. But then how, as per Vedic calendar, we have different Rashi timing. Like if I see my birth chart, then as per English calendar, I am Sagittarius. But as per our Vedic calendar, I am a Taurus.
Okay. So that are depending on the programming of that particular astrological chart preparer. Because okay. In the modern science, there is a different understanding. We say mm-hmm. that Sun enters into Makara, that is line Capricorn, on mm-hmm. January 15th. But modern science say that is on December 21st only. They have different way of calculating things.
Okay.
Different December 21st only, the Sun enters into Capricorn, mm-hmm. according to modern science. There is a distinct difference in number of days here and there.
Okay.
But we following in our Vaishnava calendar, in all our traditional based Panchangas and traditional based chart preparers, they all follow this Vedic understanding. All modern, with the details given by NASA, etc., they have little mm-hmm. differences.
Oh, okay. Mm. So for our purpose, we should follow whatever is our Vedic calendar Rashi, right?
Not like that. If you are referring to astrologer, you should ask. You can ask mm-hmm. astrologer which one you are referring. You are referring to ancient or modern.
Oh, okay.
And based on the modern, they do predictions based on the ancient. Those who are following ancient programming, they predict based on that.
Okay. So basically everything is relative. So no matter where they take the starting point, ultimately everything is same because everything is relative with each other.
Yes.
Okay. And one other question I have from the starting, Prabhuji. So when we say that Jambu, like this Bharat Varsha is divided into 9 parts.
Hmm.
So Bharat Khanda is a spherical globe, which is not connected with land, with other 8 parts.
Yes.
So is there any...
They are not connected.
Yeah, right. So as we see that we can see objects up to the pole star with our modern equipments and things like that. So is there any reference like why we can't see other 8 khandas in our Bharat Varsha?
No, there is no reference. But in one of the sessions, we discussed that the composition, though all the things in the entire universe are made up of earth, water, fire, and ether,
right,
but the composition is different. In one mm-hmm. of the classes, we discussed that.
Yeah, right.
The earth, when it's thrown into the ether, it becomes dust particles here. And we can't see normally. When they are entering through a window in a dark room, we can see something like that.
Right. Okay. So, but as per scriptures or as per modern science, nowhere there is anybody who reference these 8 other khandas, right?
Modern science is pretty clear. If you see, if you show, I'll accept. If you don't show, I'll not accept. Get lost.
Right.
They are pretty clear. They are only dependent on pratyaksha.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanwad Pranam. Prabhuji, one reason, the predominating reason for the sun moving Uttarayana and Dakshinayana is because of Dhruva Maharaj pulling it, Prabhu, through the Vayu ropes.
Yeah, Dhruva Maharaj is pulling the ropes. Plus, Kala Chakra is inclined. We need to combine both the reasons and the cumulative effect, sun is going upward and downward also as well inside and outside.
Why we have to combine both, Prabhu? Dhruva Maharaj pulling is sufficient enough, right, Prabhu? I think that's why I'm a little confused. Because of that, he's moving on Kala Chakra, right? Like that?
Yeah, sun is moving along with the Kala Chakra.
Okay.
Sun is moving along with the Kala Chakra. Yes, that's why.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Not only sun, even all the other planets, even if you remember the animation, I put the moon also along with the Kala Chakra on the moon's orbit also.
Yes.
Same thing is applicable for all the planets.
Yes.
So in the animation, if you see, Saturn is kept on the top.
Mm-hmm.
So currently it may be on the top, but after 15 years, the Saturn will come to the bottommost point.
Okay.
Yes, all the other planets also go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So Uttarayana Dakshinayana is not only for Sun, it is applicable for all the Navagrahas.
All the Grahas. Okay.
But we don't discuss about them so much. The Sun is important because we have change in season, so we discuss.
Okay. Well, whereas the nakshatras and the rashis are fixed on the Kala Chakra.
Yes.
But whereas these grahas are not attached to the Kala Chakra.
They are moving on top of the surface of the Kala Chakra. That's why they need to go up and down.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
If it is possible, Prabhuji, can you please share this PPT with us?
Till date, I have not shared with anybody the PPT. But anyway, you have the class recording. You have everything in the recording.
Okay. No problem.
Hare Krishna. I'm sorry.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Prabhuji,
actually you explained very well about eclipse, and the partial eclipse also I could follow it very clearly. But how the scientific scientists give the reason for partial eclipse? They just take it as the sun, moon and earth, they are in the same line. But here I could follow because of the Rahu, partially it is coming in between. So we have partial eclipse. But how do they give the explanation for that?
Even, see, in their case, there is no concept of Rahu Ketu. But for that also, even the misalignment of sun and moon, there are two alignments. One is the horizontal alignment. There is another one is the vertical alignment. So here I have only shown that vertical alignment only. There is something called horizontal alignment also. For a 3D picture, na, if this is Bhumandala and sun is here and moon is here, earth is here. They are in alignment when you see from the front side. But when you see from the top, the moon may be this side, because of which there will be partial alignment. So it is like that. You just have to imagine a little bit. See, here we are seeing from the top. So this picture is from the top. But when you see the same picture from the front, it will be a different vision only. So it's like that.
Okay.
So there could be misalignment in the vertical direction or horizontal direction, because of which only half moon is covered by Rahu, other half is not covered by Rahu. So we have only half eclipse.
Or maybe they may take it as at that place it is only partial and some other place maybe it is full.
Yeah, that is true. As you go outside, na, so when you are trying to observe the eclipse, see, we are talking about this person. People who are here, they will be able to pursue the full eclipse. But the people who are here, they may get to see only partial eclipse. They may not be seeing full eclipse, because their vision is like this. Na. For them, sun is there, they might be having still brightness. But still, they may get to, some people may be here. Their vision is like this. Their vision is only captured, blocked by some portion of Rahu or some moon. So they may have only partial eclipse. It also varies where you are located and the geography. Only people who are here, they have to observe the eclipse rules. People who are here, they don't have to observe the eclipse rules. Even the eclipse is happening here, because they are not in the region of the eclipse. So they can freely do whatever they want. So where eclipse is happening, only that portion they will be able to see, and they need to apply all the rules and regulations in that way.
Prabhuji, in our Vaishnavism, do we really follow these eclipse, all rituals?
At least in the past years, in the past decades, no one followed. But from last 4 or 5 years, the Mayapur temple is insisting on all of us that we need to follow all the rules and regulations of eclipse. Because we, as the leaders in the society, we need to set a proper example. So we cannot be indifferent to the traditional culture. At least I am observing in the temple from last 3-4 years, we are strictly following all the rules and regulations, closing the temple and not doing anything and keeping quiet. After eclipse is over, we are taking bath and preparing new bhoga offering to the lords, etc. Before that, we never followed. At least in the temple, in Iskcon temple, we never followed, but in our home, always follows. Even today also, they follow in the home.
Yes, we do follow at home, but temple insists that not to follow, not necessary to follow.
But Mayapur insisting, in India, all temples follow because of the insistence of Mayapur temple.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Thanks a lot, Dandavat Pranams. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your wonderful presentation. So my question is, Prabhuji, I have observed in one of your slides that the orbit of the sun was moving, Prabhuji. So how come the orbit of the sun moves, Prabhuji? It should be fixed, right?
No, what I'm saying, the Bhumandala, in the month of January, the orbit of the sun is the Bhumandala. But Dhruva is here, since Dhruva is pulling, the orbit goes upward. As a result of that, sun will move here next day. And next day, sun will go little upper. So like that, over a period of 6 months, sun goes to the topmost point. Then in the following six months, the orbit slowly comes down. So wherever sun is, you will be traveling there only around. So that will be the orbit for that day. The orbit is not fixed throughout the year. That's why it is said that there are 180 orbits for sun for 6 months. So 180 days he goes upward, other 180 days he comes downward. So it is like that.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, orbit is only one, but that orbit keeps moving up and down, right?
Okay, it moves up and down, and orbitral radius also keeps reducing as it goes upward, and it increases as it goes downward.
Okay.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yes, Prabhuji, got it. Thank you, Prabhuji.
There is one Mataji. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a very, very wonderful session. So my question is regarding the eclipse. We have read that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has told that our temple activities can go on under the closed doors. I'm trying to understand that instruction, Prabhuji, with respect to this eclipse that we are trying to follow now.
Yeah, actually, yeah, this is also one more thing I did not mention. They say that except DT, if, for example, eclipse is happening in the noontime, solar eclipse is happening in the noontime between 12 to 1, and 12:30 to 1 is our Rajbhog Arati. Altar is closed. Temple is closed. No kirtan is going on outside. Nothing is, I mean, kirtan might be going on outside. Art is not opened. But pujari will do bhoga offering inside and also what you can say, arati inside. It is all happening in the closed doors. It will not happen like the way it happens other days. So that's what we did in Chaupati in the last couple of years. If the eclipse is happening during the arati time or during bhoga offering time, it is done within the closed doors. Otherwise, temple main gates are closed and no one is allowed to come inside the temple during the eclipse hours.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. And also, I am trying to understand that in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's time, early 19, practices of observing eclipse and all other things based on Panchanga was so much prevalent, right? As you were telling that your mother and others, they did not go to school, but they know exactly what it is. So, yeah, that is a thing that we are totally lost in touch with this thing, Prabhuji. That's again an observation.
Yeah, that is true because the modern science is spreading so prevalent and we are all studied in convent schools. So since childhood, we never taught all these things in the school. We taught about sun, moon, earth only. There was no concept of Rahu. So since there is no concept of Rahu, now they say that you can come out of home, put a telescope and terrace of your building and observe the eclipse and shoot the eclipse and make a movie and do so many things. So all these things are nowadays like, eclipse is like a, what you can say for them, it is adventure nowadays. But one more thing, one precaution is actually recorded cases are there, especially the Matajis who are going through the pregnancy period. They are recommended not to come out of their home. They are supposed to be inside the dark rooms. Because there are many cases recorded when they came out, when the children were born, they are born with deformed bodily limbs or mentally deranged children. Something or the other, some defect was there for those children whose mother while pregnancy period was exposed to eclipse. So this is one important thing should be considered for Matajis.
So much.
Apparently, we may not perceive any sudden effect immediately, but these effects are all can be shown subtly, may not be very gross. Subtly, over a period of time, will be shown in our personality.
Yeah, yes, Prabhuji. I remember when I was in 8th grade, there was a solar eclipse, complete solar eclipse in India, and there was one scientist, Yash Chopra, something, he was eating chips in the TV. It was all telecasted that he's telling that who said we can't eat. But then later, after 15 years, I read that he got, after 10 years, he had cancer or something.
Yeah, something like that. Something can happen. See, at least traditionally, all our ancestors have believed it and they have followed it very strictly. So it does not take much time, 2-3 hours, take a leave and continue on with your stay inside the home and do the needful. That's all.
Yeah.
It is not a serious thing.
So, okay, Hare Krishna Prabhu, can I ask a question? During this eclipse, we say in our Andhra community, we call Dharba. They use in puja also. So to get the ill effects of this rays, we spread this Dharba on all the foods, pickles and everywhere. So is it scientifically proven, Prabhu, after keeping this, they are perfectly okay to take, consume next day?
I don't know whether it is scientifically proven or not, but there are some papers published presenting the effect of the Dharba grass or Kusha grass or Tulasi leaves. If they get the Dharba grass, they put. If they don't get, they put Kusha grass. If they don't get that, Tulasi leaves also they put many times, people in India. So all these three will have antiseptic effect. Because they don't worry about Rahu and Ketu. So they don't see the Rahu and Ketu's effect and all. That's why that the concept is not there in their research work. So, but the antiseptic effect of Dharba grass and Kusha grass and Tulasi leaves is proven from that point of view.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
So one of these three can be used in our home during the time of eclipse.
Okay.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu.
Hare
Krishna. Yeah, just some very, very basic questions I have just for my own clarification. So lunar eclipse, that's when the rays of the moon are being blocked from the earth, right?
Yes.
And solar eclipse is when the rays of the sun are being blocked from the earth.
Yes.
And both either Rahu or Ketu can do this blocking, either one.
Yes.
And no matter which one of them is doing the blocking, it's always inauspicious.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Mm-hmm.
So like this, here the sun, here is the earth, here is moon. So here Rahu is in between. And during this time, whichever moon rays which are supposed to come to earth, here on this part of the earth, in the night time, whichever they see, they are blocked by Rahu and Rahu will send forth his own block rays. So that is inauspicious.
I know you did cover this, but do the two of them do this blocking, this eclipsing, do they have an equal share or does one do more than the other?
I don't know. One eclipse is caused by Rahu. 6 months later, it will be caused by Ketu. And 6 months later, again, Rahu. So
it seems pretty even, right, between them?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. I'm really sorry. This concept is whatever we discussed today, little technical compared to what we discussed in the previous 2-3 sessions about the normal movement of sun, even the whole thing also. This is first time we are discussing this. Just like school children also, when they were discussed about the planets, movements and all, they also not learned in the very first day. They also need to learn year by year. For a period of time, they become expert in that field. Same way, we also need to spend some time in order to understand the subject matter thoroughly. But for today, we just have gone through brief overview. By spending more time personally or mutually, we get to know more about these things. So with that note, we'll stop here. So
thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Again, a very beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you. Very elaborative. We can certainly understand by your classes actually the importance of our Vedas, what they said thousands of years ago. Scientists are just revealing today, but actually our calculations are even better than the science calculation if we really go deep into this. It's beautiful. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very elaborative. Very. I am actually amazed how you and your team is studying all this. It's like just to understand initial start of the class, you start put that in a window, how we calculate. And in fact, it just makes sense. So thank you so much, Prabhu, for all your services and all your time devoted to this mission of Srila Prabhupada. We are all very grateful to you, Prabhu. Thanks. And we look for your association again in the future, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Dear devotees, let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpataru vashya cha.